Okay, let's unpack this. We're diving deep today into a really interesting set of sources, all focused on something that's, well, it's becoming increasingly vital, isn't it? Electric battery recycling.
Absolutely. Especially as more EVs hit the road.
Exactly. And we have a key document here, a presentation. It's by Agata Juzik from NRSBNR.
Right.
And it poses this fundamental question right at the start. Batteries cost or revenue?
That question really sets the stage perfectly, doesn't it?
It does.
It tells us we're not just talking about, you know, the environmental side, the obligation, but the potential economics involved.
So our mission, our goal
for
this deep dive is basically to pull apart this material.
Yeah, to really understand what makes battery recycling valuable or potentially valuable.
And what the rules are becoming, because they are changing.
Definitely. And how companies, you know, on the ground are actually making it happen or trying to.
Right. Is dealing with old EV batteries just another expense, another headache, or is there genuinely a business opportunity here? Let's see what this deep dive reveals.
Okay.
So, kicking off with that core question from the source. Are these electric batteries a cost to be managed, or maybe a potential source of revenue?
Well, the fact that a company like NRSBNR is asking this, they're in the thick of it, right? Waste recycling.
Yeah, a practical world.
It suggests they see something more than just a disposal problem. It grounds the discussion, like you said, in the practicalities.
They're looking at it through an economic lens, not just logistics.
Exactly. Is the stuff inside these batteries actually valuable enough to, you know, make the whole recycling process pay for itself or even turn a profit?
And to answer that, we have to know what's in them.
Precisely.
The source spends a good bit of time on the different battery chemistries, the common ones in EVs.
Right. It highlights NMC, NCA, and LFP. These acronyms, they basically stand for different cocktails of metals and materials.
And that mix, as the source shows, directly impacts their value for recycling. It's not all the same.
Not at all.
And it even links these to specific car makers, which I found interesting. NMC, it notes, is used by BMW, Renault, VW. NCA for Tesla and Porsche.
Right, the higher performance end, often.
And then LFP for BYD, and notably some newer Tesla models, too.
Yeah, LFP is becoming more common, especially in standard range vehicles.
Okay, so why is knowing the chemistry so important for this revenue question?
Well, the source is very clear on this. For NMC and NCA batteries, the key is the presence of certain critical and valuable metals.
Namely?
Cobalt, nickel, and lithium.
Ah, the big three in that context. And give us actual numbers.
Yeah.
Straight from the source material. Example, market prices.
Yeah, those are useful benchmarks.
Cobalt listed at 27 to 40 USD per kilogram.
Wow, that's a wide range. But yeah, potentially quite high.
Nickel around 18 USD per kilogram. And lithium at 20 USD per kilogram. I mean, cobalt possibly hitting $40 a kilo. That's serious potential value locked inside.
It absolutely is. And this is precisely where the source draws that stark contrast with LFP batteries.
Right, because LFP stands for lithium iron phosphate.
Exactly. The source explicitly states LFP batteries lack nickel and cobalt. They still have lithium, but they miss those other two high-value metals.
Which the source then links directly to, and I quote, lower profitability for recycling LFP compared to NMC or NCA.
So the material composition isn't just some technical detail. It's fundamental. It drives the whole economic equation for the recycler.
Makes sense. The source also, just briefly, notes how you can find out the chemistry VIN number, a tag on the battery itself.
Or soon, yeah, that mandatory battery passport, which is a good segue, actually.
Well, it's regulations.
That future point about the battery passport, it's really significant because it ties into this whole increasing regulatory push around batteries.
The source points to clear trends and goals here. Things like boosting metal recovery rates.
Getting more of that valuable stuff back.
Cutting the environmental impact, obviously.
And standardizing laws across the EU. Harmonization.
And it flags a very specific date, a big one. August 18, 2025.
That's the key date mentioned in the source, yeah. That's when the requirement for a battery passport and a recycling certificate for each battery becomes mandatory.
Mandatory, not optional.
No, legally required from that point on. You can't sell certain batteries without them.
And this is all underpinned by specific EU legislation, right? Regulation 2023-1542. The source details this.
It does. And it puts the responsibility, the onus, squarely on the producer and introducer.
Which they define as basically whoever puts the battery on the EU market first. So the manufacturer or the importer.
Right. And the obligations listed are pretty comprehensive.
Like what?
Well, they must register in the central EU system. They're financially responsible for the whole end-of-life process, collection, transport, and recycling.
Because they have to pay for it.
They have to finance it, yes.
Yep.
And crucially, they must have a binding contract with a certified recycler, or what's called a recovery organization.
So you can't just import batteries and then, you know, wash your hands of them when they die.
Nope. Cradle to grave responsibility, essentially.
And the regulation sets some pretty ambitious targets, too, according to this source material.
Very ambitious. It mentions a target to recover 90%. 90% of the lithium, cobalt, and nickel from collected batteries.
By when?
By 2027.
Wow. 90% recovery of those key metals by 2027. That sounds, well, incredibly challenging. That's only a few years away.
It is ambitious. The source doesn't detail current rates, but highlighting that target really underscores the scale of the challenge and the intent behind the regulation.
It's a strong signal.
Definitely. And it goes further. It doesn't just push for recycling. It actually creates demand for the recycled materials.
Oh, right. The recycled content requirements for new batteries.
Exactly. The source states that new batteries, when they're placed on the EU market, must contain specific minimum percentages of recycled material.
Okay, what are the numbers?
16% cobalt, 6% lithium, and 6% nickel must come from secondary sources, meaning recycled sources.
16% recycled cobalt in new batteries. That's significant.
It's critical. Because it directly supports the economic argument for recycling, right? It creates a guaranteed market, a demand, for the very metals recovered through the recycling process.
So it closes the loop. It makes the output of recycling more valuable because manufacturers need it.
Precisely. It helps make the whole system more self-sustaining.
Okay, so we've got the potential value locked in the metals, particularly NMC and NCA. And we've got this strong regulatory push demanding recycling and the use of recycled content. How does this actually, you know, work on the ground?
Well, the source uses Aneris B&R, the company behind the presentation, as a practical example.
Right. What services do they highlight?
They basically list the whole chain. Collection of batteries, classifying the chemistry, which we now know is crucial for value.
Mm-hmm.
Safe transport. They mentioned it's ADR, you know, hazardous material transport rules apply.
Which adds complexity and cost, I imagine.
Oh, absolutely. Handling lithium-ion batteries, especially damaged ones, requires specific procedures and safety measures. Then, certified recycling that meets the EU standards.
Okay.
Plus, they offer support services. Things like consulting, helping companies with the paperwork, the documentation, even training, helping businesses navigate these new obligations.
So kind of a full service provider in this space.
Seems like it, based on the source.
And the source even gives some metrics on their own operation. Their processing capacity for lithium-ion batteries is listed as 27,370 milligrams per year. That's megagrams, right? Metric tons.
Yeah, basically tons. So over 27,000 tons per year. That's a significant scale.
It really is. And they state an overall recovery rate of 95%.
That 95% recovery figure is very high. It shows the kind of industrial scale and efficiency that's needed to handle the volume of batteries coming through and also to aim for those tough regulatory targets like the 90% for specific metals.
And looping back to that very first question, cost or revenue?
The benefit they emphasize is exactly what we've been discussing. Potential revenue, yes, but combined with achieving full legal compliance.
So it frames recycling not just as a regulatory burden you have to tick off.
Right, but as an integrated part of the whole economic and legal landscape for batteries now.
Okay, so if we pull all this together from the source material, what's the kind of overarching message here about electric battery recycling?
The presentation's conclusion is pretty clear, I think. It says batteries should fundamentally be viewed as a resource, not just a problem, not just waste.
A resource, shifting the perspective.
Exactly. And it highlights what's needed to make that work. Cooperation, you know, between different players in the chain.
Right.
Deep knowledge, understanding the materials, the processes.
And the right technology, of course.
Absolutely. And with those ingredients, this vision positions end-of-life batteries as a new source of value.
Especially, it mentions, for places like vehicle dismantling stations. They're often the first point of contact when a car reaches the end of its life.
Yeah, a new potential revenue stream for them, maybe, instead of just a disposal cost.
So we've done this deep dive.
Yeah.
Starting with that core question, cost versus revenue. We looked at how different battery chemistries, like NMC versus LFP, unlock different levels of value.
Mm-hmm. We trace the path of these ambitious EU regulations, the passport, the recycling targets, the mandatory recycled content.
And looked at how companies like Aneris B&R are providing the practical services to actually make recycling happen on a large scale.
And the clear message, at least from this source, is that with the right approach, that mix of regulation technology and seeing batteries as resources recycling moves, you know, potentially quite firmly into the revenue column.
It becomes a vital part of resource management for the future, not just waste management.
Exactly. A circular economy approach.
It really does shift the perspective. But, you know, it leaves us with a lingering thought, maybe something for you, the listener, to consider. We saw how LFP batteries, the ones lacking that valuable nickel and cobalt, present a lower profitability challenge for recyclers today, based on the source.
Right. The economics are tougher just based on metal value.
So as LFP batteries potentially become even more common in EVs, maybe standard range models especially, what happens then? How will the industry, how will the regulations maybe, need to adapt?
That's a really good question. How do you ensure that those batteries, the ones less economically appealing to recycle, based purely on selling the recovered cobalt and nickel, are also managed effectively and recycled to high standards?
Does the model need tweaking? Do other valuable components need targeting? What questions does this deep dive raise for you about the future of electric mobility and how we manage these critical resources?